feel very spicy to be here with you on a Friday night.
We're spicing it up.
Smell you later.
Yeah.
It's going to be a spicy episode. It's going to be nasty.
Let's see. One of my impulse eBay purchases came in today. I bought a discontinued flanker of Mugler Alien. It's Alien Musk Extraordinaire.
Ooh.
Yeah. I smell like an old businessman somewhere from the Middle East.
You are blowing our format. I didn't even ask you the question.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Wait. I have a,
wait, okay. That's also like half not. Well, okay. It is what I'm wearing today, but it's also not because I wore two things today.
Okay, that's fine. As you do.
As I do. As I do.
Wait, you said one of your eBay impulse purchases.
There's a lot.
Or did you?
Yes. Okay.
Wait, what brought you to this Alien Flanker? What journey? Like, you're on some journey that, like, won't end. And I support it. I lift it up in praise. But, like, what?
I think when we were researching for our Mugler episode, and then when I was looking at the Fragrantica page of all of the flankers, yeah, I was like, wait, some of these sound really good. And I, like, hadn't heard of them. Maybe just because, like, we don't go to department stores. So it's like, we're not seeing these. Yeah. And I guess they're just like not being marketed to us.
Well, and there's been so many years where they've just been rolling out. So it's anyone see any of
them? Totally. Yeah. Like there's another Alien Flanker that I was like, oh, that's interesting. And it said it was released in 2020. And I was like, I have never heard of this.
Well, and I bet you that some are exclusive to certain retailers and things too. So
yeah, I think this one was not a US release.
Mm, which are always even better.
I know. It's like so much. I was like, oh, I'll pay $60 Canadian for this.
Yeah. I actually myself had a eBay impulse purchase this week as well, and it just showed up in my apartment.
Ooh.
So during quarantine, since we couldn't do anything, I just started like hunting down all of this vintage like pop girl concert merch, which is sort of like what I do anyway.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I'm not spending money on drinks, so I might as well spend it on the dumbass t-shirts. And there's one that kept evading me, and if you're like really deep into like, if your brain is broken like mine and you love all the pop shit, you know that after tours happen, the shirts for the crews will go up.
Oh.
The people who like run the lights and shit.
Yeah,
so it'll
be
like the name of the tour and then the crew. Uh-huh. And I found one for the Sweetener tour. And it's a black shirt, and I don't wear black anymore. It's not in the personal brand book, but it says Sweetener Tour Crew, and it's upside down on the chest.
Yeah.
And it's an XL because that's all they come in. So I'll belt it and wear it as a dress this summer.
I love the idea of Ariana Grande's whole crew just wearing oversized clothing because she makes them.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, Ariana, Miss Grande, I can't operate this machinery with these sleeves. And then she's like, just make it happen.
they're all wearing clip-in ponytails,
yeah,
too. And so am I. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm not much of an eBay girl, especially after the scammery afoot.
I know. Like now you. I'm so much more... Well, that was...
I would follow up on that, but that turned into such a spiral that I'm not sure I want to know. Did you get
it? Worked out.
Did it? Okay, good.
It worked out in my favor, good. But...
Justice was served.
I feel like I definitely put way too much emotional energy into like sussing that out.
Emotional energy,
yes,
is the keyword there.
Yes.
You were in such a place.
I was in such
one
a
of
place.
Us is always in a place, but
I
got here and you were like eBay. And I was like, okay.
You know what? It's the scammery of it all.
Yeah.
It's just like a really awful feeling to get scammed.
Because you can't scam a scammer.
Yeah. I mean, again, if it didn't turn out in my favor, it would not have been the end of the world. Like, I wouldn't be left in a lurch. It would have sucked really hard. And then
it's a pride thing.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where like anytime you're the butt of a joke or you get scammed, I feel like there's a weird shame onus on the victim.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, well, you should know better, or like it's like on you to not get scammed.
Right.
Or to not get taken advantage of.
Right.
But I feel like that's just kind of a common cultural rhetoric we have. Did you watch that Tinder Swindler?
No, because again, the less I know the better. I don't need to even put my brain in that headspace.
I watched it. I just like put it on thinking it'd be like, oh, a stupid thing to have in the background. I got sucked in.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds very you.
I'm usually not like a true crime person. I don't really care. I want on reality. I want fantasy.
Mm.
Like, don't give me bad reality that makes me sad. I got sucked in, and these women were bilked out of like hundreds and thousands of dollars, And then when they banded together to go public to try and get this guy and prevent him from doing it to other women, they got so much backlash from people who were like, that's what you get for being a gold digger, or like, serves you right. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so messed up.
I also don't have any idea what the Tinder swindler is about. I thought it was like Catfish.
No, it's not like Catfish.
Because Catfish was just about identity, not about money.
Oh, no. Right. This was a guy who would just pretend to be super rich to court women and then say that he needed money from them, because his whole thing was like, my enemies are after me. I need $25,000, please, for the weekend.
But if he's the rich one, then why are you giving him money? But now, well, I'm doing it. Now thing. I'm doing
it. No. Like, even in my head, I was like, none of this tracks. Yeah. Not one of it. I was honestly mostly just aghast at how he was able to have multiple super involved relationships with several women at once internationally, like around the globe.
Yeah. Good for
him. He had so many women who were like, wait, I thought he was his girlfriend. Like, we talk every single day. Like, we FaceTime every single day. And he's like with me on the weekend. I was like, how much fucking time does this guy have?
I should watch this. Is it a series?
No, it's just a documentary. Okay. It's like a 2-hour documentary on Netflix.
Okay.
But yeah, I was like, how is he able to like have such a full, because like that's the thing with like, I feel like a lot of conventional hetero relationships, or maybe just conventional relationships in general, it's like, if you're giving somebody attention, if you're doting on them, like, they're yours.
You just had a mouthful there.
Yeah, I did. Like, as if you are just giving a person lots of romantic attention, like, they're going to stick around.
I'm gonna have a panic attack right now.
Yeah. But this dude was able to somehow keep that energy up for like 5 women at a time. Sure. And I was like, damn, that's the craziest part to me.
Well,
he worked for that money.
I'll go watch it and we'll do a bottle episode.
Okay.
We'll start a Patreon to do one episode about the Tinder swindler. I can't even fucking say it.
I can't say
God that. Damn it. And then we'll close it down.
Tinder.
Just kidding. We'll never do that. Wow.
So I understand. It's like, wow, it really, really sucks to get scammed. I mean, at least I don't have like the banks after me.
Yeah, true.
That was the scary part.
I still have to do my, speaking of the banks after me, I still have to do my taxes.
Dude, it's
we have
dry.
Time. We have time. But like, I got all of my.
Do you do your own?
No. Okay. I don't even hang my own pictures.
God. I'd be surprised if you did your own for some reason.
And I say, well, I'm very stupid. I see a number and I start sweating. I was like, I wonder where all my, what are they, W-2s are?
W-2s, 1099s.
Yeah, all that. Yeah. I was like, where are all those? Yeah. And I checked my mailbox, as I do once a month. Right. And I was like, oh, here are the 85 of them that are waiting for me. Yeah. Fuck. Love that.
Yeah. I think I probably got all mine. I feel like if I don't get them by March, that's on you, and I'm not filing it.
I thought about it once, and I came up with a number of how many I should be receiving. Then I looked at my little mailbox, and that exact number was there, and that's all the thought that I will let myself put into it. And as far as I'm concerned, I have them all.
I lose so much track of that shit, where, like, I've gotten 1099s or W-9s, W-2s, whatever, and I was like, I worked for you.
Literally. Like, what?
You gave me $2,000? Like, for what?
Right. The first, like, big freelance project I did this year, last year, was Laura Mercier, which was in probably, like, February, March. Mm-hmm. And that feels like 5 years ago.
I know.
A completely different lifetime.
I know.
And I'm like, I have to pay taxes for that? Yeah. I don't remember it. It doesn't count.
No, it shouldn't.
No.
Also, like, shouldn't the government calculate our taxes for us?
Shouldn't the government pay me?
Absolutely.
You know?
I feel like they should.
Put us through enough.
Yeah.
It's time for them to pull up this year.
Apparently the IRS is like severely understaffed. God. So I was like, I don't think anybody is getting their return this year.
I'm kidding. Pay your taxes.
Yeah. Wink.
Pay your taxes. Don't listen to Sable. God.
This is not a financial advisement podcast.
No, it's not. We have no business.
No. I still need a new CPA because mine fired me. So.
Why did he fire you?
No, they didn't fire me. They're just like, we're going to be a financial advisement firm now. So if you don't want to sign on to our $400 a month retainer, we're not doing your taxes. And I was like, I'm not that rich.
That's crookery.
And even if I was, that's not the way I would spend my money.
Yeah. I did mine on this like online site last year where like you meet with someone online and that's like what they do. And they specialize in freelancers. And they were cool. They were good, but like I wasn't thrilled with my returns, and I'm just gonna blame it on them.
Even after paying my estimated taxes last year, I still owed like a fuck ton.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about that.
I was like, I paid you for this.
Maybe we'll just like go on the run.
I think we should just skip it.
I'm kidding. Again, pay your taxes. It. Stop saying that.
They'll never know. They all quit.
Anyway, I'm not going to have the government on my ass because of you. Actually, if I would, it would be because of you. Probably. for anything.
Probably.
Are we there?
I guess we're there.
Okay. Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
As I jumped the gun earlier, I smell like alien musk extraordinaire.
This is a Mugler podcast now.
This is a Mugler podcast.
Of course you bought it. It's a musk.
It's a musk. I was, however, a little bit mistook. I should have known this from the trickery of all Mugler scents, is that it does not smell like a musk. Huh. I feel like they don't ever smell like what they say they smell like.
Yeah.
It's just like a completely different thing. It is powdery like a musk. I'll give it that. But it's just like full on. It's a spice bomb.
Hmm.
It's just like all spice all the time. Oh, it's this one.
Oh.
Super spicy, super warm, very powdery and sweet.
Yeah.
It's like, is it a gourmand?
No.
No, it's like an amber. It's like very,
a spicy amber.
Yeah, it's a spicy amber.
I'm tiptoeing around saying oriental.
They say oriental. Of course they do. In fact, this, I believe, is their two out of three in their this little mini oriental collection of the alien flankers. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that.
I feel like I'm getting a ton of musk on top of all that spice, but that
I think the overall effect is very musky.
But you called that powdery, and maybe that's what I'm getting.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
I feel like musk can go in a light direction where it's airy, and musk can go in the really animalic direction, and this is that. The juice is, it looks like a brown liquor. Oh. I initially sprayed it on a piece of white tissue paper and it turned beige.
I don't like that.
So I was like, oh, okay, that's good to know. Don't spray it on a white t-shirt.
Self-tanner.
Yeah, basically. God. Yeah, it's like molasses or something.
Yeah.
But it was only released in 2017. So it's not that old. But the bottle and the packaging, it looks like it's from the 90s.
Shit.
Which is weird.
Wow.
It's interesting. When I first smelled it, I was like, oh no, this smells like old school drugstore cologne. It had that like...
I see that, yeah.
Acidity and that brashiness.
And like the headiness too.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's really pretty.
It's pretty. But then once it dries down, that's when you get the effect where you're like, ah, okay. Now it's just like a really nice, zesty, spicy, musky, powdery scent.
In your spice era right
now.
I'm
in my spice era.
You are.
Yes.
I am rubbing off on you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I love that.
You just say it enough times, and in my head I was like, why do I like spice so much? I just feel like I really need to like collect them all. Yeah.
And it's in the same alien bottle.
It's like a silver, brushed silvery chrome that ombres into clear.
Ooh, cute.
It's kind of cool, yeah.
I love that.
It's cool, yeah. The packaging is really cool. I was looking up the other ones in this little oriental collection, and the other one sounds like citrusy, so I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, gross.
But again, none of the Mugler scents smell like what they say they smell like, so who knows?
Did you buy any other Mugler scents?
I'm tracking down Alien Mirage,
which
was released last year.
Okay.
And
I still have samples of it.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't think it was a U.S. release.
Ah.
Because I can't find it from any U.S. retailers.
Okay.
And I saw it on eBay from a Canadian seller, but it wasn't that expensive, so I might just buy it.
Do it.
And our currency is like a little higher than theirs, so...
And it's a write-off.
It's like $50, so it's like, it's not that bad. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I smell like something I have referenced like 50,000 times on the show and never worn, and something I really love. So I was like, today is the day. I'm wearing Libra by YSL.
I feel like you have worn this on an episode. Or maybe we just talked about it a lot.
Well, I hope not. Yeah. I did wear... I always flip the name Voce Viva from Valentino, which is, in my head, sister fragrance really? To this. Yeah. They're similar.
Two houses.
Very similar.
Both alike in dignity.
Right. But yeah, this came out in 2019, and I don't know. It hit, like, the bottle's gorgeous, but that's like all that caught my attention about it. And I was just like in no rush to smell it. And a friend of mine, and Dua Lipa's the face of it.
Right. It's a popular one, right?
Libra? Yeah, I think. Yeah, it was a really big launch for them. So it was, those just like never interest me. You know what I mean? Like a big sort of like tentpole fragrance from one of the designer house, brands that like lands in a Sephora and on a counter. It's just like, okay, like it'll be there. So yeah, and Dua Lipa was certainly very famous, but not nearly as famous as she is now. It was, you know, pre-Future Nostalgia.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll get to it. A friend of mine, Connor, was like, oh no, this is actually very good. And I was like, okay, sure it is, bitch. But I finally smelled it, and like I was immediately like, sometimes I need to learn to shut the fuck up, because this is really just like undeniably something that I love. And I don't go back to it nearly enough, but it's they refer to it as an amber fougere, so like a, you know, an amber floral. Okay. Which like, sure. Okay. Yeah, all right. And I guess it is. I would call it, I guess, a spicy floral, which I was saying the exact same thing, I suppose.
Fougere is it like with the evergreen notes?
See, that's like
the evergreens.
It's
like a dark green, piney kind of scent.
Yeah, but this accord. Is like not that.
Okay. But that's what I thought. I was like, amber and fougere, whoa.
Right.
It sounds sort of
two different.
Yeah.
But it's definitely in like an amber floral, and I would also throw spicy in there, but the spice comes from just sort of the way everything is built, and not, there's no spices in it. I don't know, it's lovely. It's one of those things that you can't really pin down. Mm-hmm. And not to say that I've like never smelled anything like this before, but like maybe I haven't. I remember being like really, really pleasantly surprised, to the point where I was like, you gotta send that my way, girls. And they did. It's not helpful or even interesting to list these notes out, because like
it's not gonna make sense.
No. And none of them are like cool, but it's like the top is lavender, mandarin, black currant, and a petitgrain. In the middle there's more lavender, orange blossom, and jasmine. Bases, vanilla, musk, cedar, and ambergris. So like, you know, there are notes of fragrance. But smells. It's just like so lovely and like warm but not heavy, and warm but not wintry. And it's obviously marketed to women, but I think this is a really solid example of how if we just stop gendering things, like this could be on any counter in anyone's vanity.
I thought it was a non-gendered one, but you're right. It is marketed towards women.
Yeah. I think we have a long way to go before.
Yeah. I think because they don't say for her necessarily.
Yeah.
It's just like stocked in the women's section.
Right. Right. With a woman face and all that. Yeah. I think we have a long way to go before brands in houses like, you know, YSL and all, et cetera, do a true genderless fragrance, and even farther to go before they do that and not call it genderless.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was reading something in Business of Fashion, how they were saying that niche artisanal luxury fragrance brands are overtaking designer fragrances because they're speaking more to the culture of like genderless. Mm-hmm. They're doing more storytelling with a fragrance that's actually like makes people interested and is not just like an editorial ad.
Right. Right.
And that it's appeals more to like a modern fragrance shopper, I suppose. But like these are like brands like Kilian, Dies & Durga, Byredo, that are like ostensibly much more expensive than designer fragrances, but they're like booming, where designer fragrances are like kind of on a plateau.
Right. Right.
Which is interesting.
Well, and also, and I hate to like play the flip side of the coin, but they're doing, things are gendered in the way that they are at that sort of like department store Sephora level because they have to be, because that's how things sell and that's how it works. And like I know that I'm contradicting myself when I say that, but like there is still the consumer that says like, okay, great, but is it for men or for women? And if it's like not the gender that they align themselves with, it's like a no-go. So it's like, how do we,
I think they just think that it has to be that way because that's what works. And like, I feel like they're not willing to experiment with an ungendered approach for fear that sales will plummet.
But even like with the shit that I do, it's like, not for work, but the stuff that we do, it's, you know, I feel like I've said this before, but I'll write about some random eye cream from some, you know, something that's actually not gendered, and mm-hmm. and people will be like, okay, but is it for women? And it's like, what? It's for your fucking eyes, it's, dude.
You got
so,
eyes?
So it's Jesus. Like, I don't know. I do think there is certainly a consumer who does like the genderless aspect of it, and or one that doesn't even notice it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that demographic is growing pretty fast, which yeah. is great. But I also think there's the one that needs a lot more hand-holding. Explaining, hand-holding, yeah. and not to say one is better or more intelligent than the other. Like, it's not.
I just feel like they could put their efforts towards doing that hand-holding in a better direction mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that actually makes sense, rather than assuming the customer's stupid and can't decide for themselves.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, those brands, I mean, no brand is worried about their fucking customer. They're worried about, like, getting the number one fragrance. No, they're worried about the
numbers, so that's why they're afraid to change.
Exactly.
Because they're like,
exactly.
well, this works. The right. numbers don't lie.
Right. I do think we are though, seeing, and this is across the beauty spectrum, not just in fragrance, but we are seeing the launches that are maybe not, like, the hero products of the year or the quarter, but we are seeing brands start to play, whether it's, like, a genderless fragrance or putting all genders in a makeup ad or mm-hmm. think people are starting to place their bets in different places, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like, it won't ever be like the biggest mm-hmm. bet of the season, but it is nice to see, not to speak well of any brand, fuck a brand, but you know, people start to widen the scope a little bit and yeah. like try new things and mm-hmm. see what works and what doesn't work. And
yeah,
by and large, I do think it's working.
It's slowly getting there. I think the teams they're hiring are also a little bit, they're getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
So they're kind of imbuing it with that fresher energy mm-hmm. and thinking that's so badly needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fragrance, especially. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of fragrance ads.
Speaking of,
I don't really know what this episode is necessarily. Where is this is going? But
well, we never know where it's going. We know what it's about.
We know what it's about. And that's thirsty ass fragrance spokesmodels or ads. Hot ass fragrance spokesmodels.
This wasn't exactly the way I thought we were going to tee it up, but okay. You know what? I'm
you know
along
what?
For the
you
ride.
Do it. You do
no,
it.
No,
you
no,
do
no.
Your
I,
version.
Like, no, I guess it is like this is exactly
okay,
what you
okay, so basically
to me.
It's like I saw a post of Angus Cloud and his new Ralph Lauren fragrance ambassadorship. And immediately sent it to Tynan, and we were both like, ah.
Mine was a little more colorful than that.
Yes. Heart eyes, tongues out, hot temperature emojis. And then we're like, what are the hottest fragrance spokesmodels? Who are the hottest fragrance ads?
And okay, yes, all of this. But also, as I was, you know, doing some research about this, I started to think about like, things that we always talk about that are often tied to fragrance ads specifically more than any other category in beauty: celebrity, mm-hmm. sex, mm-hmm. visuals, mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah.
So there's a, you know,
vibes.
Yeah, it's just fragrance is its own beast in how they sell and to who they're selling to.
Fragrance marketing is just
insane.
It is insane. It makes no sense, and there's so much budget behind it.
Oh.
Like, my an God. Insane amount of budget behind these fragrance ads that make no fucking sense.
For as safe as, like, all of these brands have to think they have to be, when they get to a fragrance ad, they're like, okay, make it as kooky as possible. We have $10 million. Yeah. Like, Natalie Portman's in back. Let's go.
Yeah. I don't get it. I think they're trying to do, like, a visual representation of the vibe of the scent. Like, not even what the scent smells like. It's just like the aesthetic of the scent.
Well, I mean,
does it work? I guess.
I mean, fragrance is a feeling, you know?
So yeah, it's an emotion. Yeah, they're trying to capture the emotion.
Yeah, and you can't shoot fragrance through a TV yet. So I guess the next best thing is to sort of, you know, and create this feeling through a spot. But again, all of beauty is aspirational. So it's like you want to feel something, but then you want to, you're selling an idea.
Yes.
You know,
you are.
So before this all started, I mean, like this episode, not like Civilization, Sable and I watched a bunch of
fragrance ads.
Yeah, including Miss Dior with Natalie Portman.
Yes.
Who was the one that's not Natalie Portman?
Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
her doppelganger in Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like the handmaiden who looks just like her.
Right. Yep. There was, of course, the Adam Driver one, which is super kooky, which I actually kind of like.
I like that one.
I don't like him all that much, but I do like that one.
I think he's fine.
But
overrated, but fine.
Yeah. I mean, some of the... And these are, I guess... The thirst of it all that we'll get into is more so about print, but
yes,
the 60s.
The 60s.
There are, I mean, these things are just bleeding money.
So, oh my, the budgets look insane. It looks like they like just all took a film crew to like somewhere in the Caribbean for a week, brought some couture.
All of it.
And they were just like, let's rent out this vintage car and ride it around for like a fucking 7 second shot.
Mm-hmm.
And spend so much fucking money.
Literally, I was like, that's sort of how I was like trying to watch it through the shot list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 same.
And like, okay, like that was 3 seconds and that was the only time they used that setup. Mm-hmm. Like, well, and I know a lot of it's green screen, blah, 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 but it's like, regardless, the money and the time and the crew and the production and the editing and the approvals.
Which means that fragrance is probably a huge, huge breadwinner.
I mean, I think it's, I don't think we know that it's, especially with brands like the couture brands, like your Chanel's and your YSL's and things like that. Fragrance is, to call it the moneymaker is an understatement. Mm-hmm. Like, it is what funds everything else.
Yeah.
Because again, we've said it's the most successful. You can get it, not anywhere, but like almost anywhere.
It's distributed everywhere because like, you would only buy Dior clothes at a Christian Dior atelier or whatever, like maybe Barney's, but you can get Miss Dior like at fucking everywhere.
At a Macy's.
Yeah. In a Macy's, in a JCPenney's, in a TJ Maxx, in Sephora. Like, it's the distributors are just so much wider.
Right. And now it's like you said, shopping online at Sephora.
Yeah.
It's like literally anyone can, you know, have a piece of that.
Yep.
And like with anything in fashion and beauty, you're buying a lifestyle.
Yeah.
With it, whether it's Dior, whether it's Glossier, you're buying into an idea.
Totally. So that's why they're like, we have $100,000 budget for this 60-second review ad.
Like,
we're paying Natalie Portman. She probably got paid like
in the millions.
Seven figures. Yeah.
It'd have to be.
Probably in the millions for someone like her.
Because like you said, it's profitable.
Yeah. Because, like, sometimes you'll see big actresses like her, Scarlett Johansson, Keira Knightley, I guess. Who else has been, like, super A-list? Charlize Theron.
Zoe Kravitz.
She's, like, newly A-list, I feel.
Sure.
She's still, pretty indie. Yeah. But, like, the A-lists. And they have got to be getting paid, like, millions to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're also, like, I feel like they're on there for, like, years.
Right.
Or, like, the ads play for years.
Right.
Good for them. I have noticed that the same designer brands will use like up and coming actresses and actors for smaller things, like social media content, like what's her face from Bohemian Rhapsody, Lucy Boynton. Okay. She was the face of a Chloe fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
And even then it's like, I don't know if she was the face of it, but she was one of the faces.
Yep.
Or like how Gucci Flora did a Hari Neff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like an ad. It had like Angelica Houston.
They had a bunch of girls.
Florence Welch.
Yeah.
I forget who else. But they had a bunch of girls in there. But I feel like Gucci is like more on the pulse of like what's actually cool.
Yeah.
Like they're...
Of anything that
size. Yeah, their creative team is like definitely like a little bit more hip.
Yeah. But do you think though that like...
But those girls are not getting paid $1 million.
No. It's funny to me. We talk about how so much of these ads are just steeped in sex.
Yep.
And, you know, all from the male gaze, even if it's for a woman's fragrance, it's so hypersexualized.
Yeah.
But now, with the few that we just watched for women,
yeah,
I feel like it's much more like the girl boss angle, you know, the empowerment, the women in the driver's seat, blah, blah, blah. But in terms of like tone, do you think that we are moving away from like the hypersexualization of the woman in an ad
I think now they feel more like empowered.
That's what I mean.
Or like, I'm living my life.
Right.
I do things my way.
Mm-hmm. My way.
My way. Just like My Way by Giorgio Armani.
Right.
Wait,
right.
Who's the face of that? Just a model?
Can't tell you.
Okay. I don't know.
I think they do have a face, but I can't remember. But like, I was thinking on the way here, And even for men and men's ads, like a man's ad when I was in high school and college would always have a woman in it.
Yep.
If not only a
woman.
She's
always like clinging or draped over him somehow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or just with
and like naked.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah. Titties always on display. Yeah. Same. And I do feel, and not that like I hang out with any straight men or whatever.
I was going to say, I was like, do you have any straight male
friends? No, I don't even have straight friends. Why would I? But even like, I just feel like men in general, not that I know any, and not to say only straight men feel like this, but even, you know, a guy's guy is beginning to be turned off by things that are like so hyper masculine, yeah. So over sexualized, mm-hmm. like things like that. So I think now when we look at men's ads in the last couple of years, they are not always, you know, devoid of a woman, but they're usually,
it's like a boss man,
a hot guy,
hot
that like every guy wants to be being sporty, strong and powerful. Yeah,
being powerful.
They're like sexy because he's sexy, but like by and large, the consumer of that fragrance that does identify as straight isn't wanting to fuck that guy. He's wanting to be that guy.
Yes, exactly.
So it's like, I think we're seeing the industry pull back from the sexualization of it all on both sides. Yeah. And I'm not surprised to see that happen on the women's side of it. I am surprised to see it happen so across the board on the men's side of it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I also think maybe it translates differently because like selling a fragrance to a man, it's like, why do men wear fragrance? I think they're trying to answer that and appeal to that. And it's probably to feel confident, to appeal to others, women others, but also to be like well liked and respected by your peers, so like other dudes. So yeah, I feel like it's like a confidence and a power thing.
But don't you think though that like I think exactly what you're saying, but like, you know, 10 years ago you'd walk in and see a guy and a girl naked,
oh
and
yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh yeah, you're wearing a fragrance to get her.
Yes.
But now you're walking in and seeing Jake Gyllenhaal with the Prada Luna Rosa Ocean and you're like, no, you want to be him.
Yeah,
that is different.
It is different.
And thank God, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, we're always going to be selling toxic masculinity like, in one way or another.
Think about like that fucking, the Brad Pitt Chanel ad where he just monologues and like says crazy stuff.
Mansplains.
He just mansplains for a minute and then it's like, Chanel number 5. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Or the Johnny Depp Dior Sauvage ads where he kind of does a similar thing. It's just like moody shots. He says a couple things that don't really make sense, like Mad Libs. Yeah. And then it's just like Dior Sauvage.
But you know, you could basically put Johnny Depp on anything and a guy would buy it. He's one of those like guy celebs, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a guy's guy.
You know how, like,
and a girl's guy. He's just a guy.
But you know how like guy celebs like are sometimes girls celebs, but then sometimes guy celebs. Like Timothy Chalamet, like guys don't care about him.
Absolutely not.
But like guys care about Johnny Depp.
Yeah. And Brad Pitt.
Do they?
I guess women care about Brad Pitt too. I think because Brad Pitt's considered like a conventional alpha male, then dudes are like, I guess I gotta be Brad Pitt now.
Well, I think
like
now,
my girl Shania says.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're selling fragrance to men differently as well as women.
We are. They're being much more strategic with the men they choose for their spokesman ambassadorships. Like Angus Cloud. And okay. Adam Driver.
We gotta get the Angus Cloud of it all out of the way.
Mr. Cloud.
Number one, his last name is Cloud.
I know. I wonder if that's made up, if that's like a stage name.
I don't know. I have more questions about Angus.
Really?
Like beef?
Angus is a name. It's like a, I feel like it's a common-ish name, especially like in the UK.
I've never heard it, but listen.
Go to the UK. Angus is abound.
I'm only gonna say this once and I want you all to listen up. Because I'm not fucking around here. All season one of Euphoria, that show about young people and narcotics. I was thirsting for Angus Cloud, okay? And I didn't even know his last name is Cloud. I was chomping at the bit for dick, okay? And now season two comes out and you're all into it. I think the fuck not. I was first in line for that, okay?
He low-key was the breakout of that whole show. Like, people loved Fezco. Even in season one.
I didn't really talk to anyone about the show, so it's all sort of like opaque to me.
Yeah. But I think there
I
was just
Zendaya was like,
there was so much going on in season one that it, you know, there's just the so muchery of it. But the season two, he has way more.
Well, he opened. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think that's the thing. Because I think, like, I know everyone loves Zendaya and always has, and always well deserved. But I think the breakouts, and let me know what you think about this because I could be wrong. I think the breakouts were like Hunter Harris deserved, Barbie Ferreira deserved. I mean, they're all fucking great.
Yeah.
But no one was talking about Angus until
some
this
people
season.
Were they? Now me. I feel like.
I'm horny.
I feel like enough people were that they were like, we need to focus on him this season.
Okay, that makes sense. Because they did open the season with him. So this long ass.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, he is now the face of Ralph Lauren, and thank God for that.
All the photos of him at Fashion Week and the like, the Tom Brownery of it all. It was like, what is he like, 20 fucking 3?
I have no idea. Some shit,
but I was like, okay, all right, okay.
The photos of him at Coach sitting next to Megan Thee Stallion.
Eating Cheetos.
Yeah. Fucking king.
But yeah, as soon as I saw like the Ralph Lauren ad, I was like, so when are we gonna get our press sanctioned 15 minutes with Angus Cloud by
1998?
Oh, okay.
Oh, that doesn't sit well with me.
This feels wrong now.
Whatever, I'd still hit it. Please.
Wait, I'm trying to do math. I'm like, how old?
He's 23. You're right.
I was
right.
The 23 of it all.
I mean, never in my darkest day would I go for a 23-year-old, but I go for Angus Cloud, please.
That's an exception. There's an exception to everyone.
Oh my God, he's so fucking fine. Anyway,
he's pretty fine, but it's like not even just like his physical appearance. It's just like the vibe he gives off. Just super laid back, confident. He does his own thing. He minds his own business. I love a man who minds his own business.
Might break a bottle over your head.
At a New Year's Eve party. Might rack up an emergency room bill.
I'd hand him the bottle. Angus, what's good?
Please crack me over the head with this bottle of Absolut.
All that
vodka.
To say, we saw this.
Good for him.
Good for him. We saw good this ad him. And we were like, okay.
Ahem, ahem.
He.
Somebody on the Ralph Lauren team is tuning in.
Oh.
And horny. They're like, so we noticed there's a lot of horniness for this one actor. Yep. We should get him.
So that got us thinking. About
all of the horny fragrance ads of yore.
Yes.
And all of the ones that were mostly memorable for me in retrospect, I'm like, these aren't that horny. They were, like we said, just kind of like moody power boards.
There was one, and I'm going to pull it up right now because you're right. You're right. I mean, even the most of these are male focused.
Yes.
We do have some girlies. But as I was pulling them up, the earlier that they were, the more sexual they were, I feel like. But there was one, and I'm trying to figure out who it was, that was like softcore porn. And in a way that it was actually kind of hot and not just like gratuitous. This one, bitch. Chris Evans for Gucci 2016. Wait.
Oh.
Number one, he's fine.
He's
anyway.
With Evan Rachel Wood.
Yes. And
but this... image,
please. I'm sorry, that's hot.
It's pretty hot. I'm not
it's hot
lie.
Because they're both celebrities, and I don't mean that. I just mean like they don't know each other
exactly,
like
just like the composition of the photo. He does look dense.
I just know that dick is heavy.
Oh,
but also like this one.
Oh wow, it's a lot of close-up tight shots of flesh. Just a lot of flesh. I mean, it's called Gucci Guilty.
It feels very
sure.
It feel like we're not supposed to be here.
It does. Yeah, it you does feel I mean? Like you're.
It's like it's
intruding.
It's like more sexual than these ads usually get.
It's pretty sexual.
This is the hottest one to me. Just like this ad in general, minus Fesco.
This should have been the Twilight movie.
What?
I don't know. It looked like the Twilight image when. Edward Cullen. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, that's yeah. Why, the positioning.
Chris Evans but for yeah, Gucci Guilty.
That
along
is like
with Evan Rachel Wood, 2016.
A rather arresting photo.
Arresting is one way to put it.
You know what? I didn't realize that Alexander Skarsgård was a spokesmodel for Calvin Klein. I like did not see that at all.
Respectfully, I have never cared about Alexander Skarsgård.
I think he was hot in True Blood and then...
He was in... this is also coming from someone that like doesn't watch any TV
that's
or movies.
True. You're not a.
He was in the show about the women with the song, and one of them died, and they were on a mountain. Hold on,
what?
Let me get there. Let me get there. they were in. There was a. It was Reese Witherspoon. Oh,
Big Little Lies.
Yes,
the women on the mountain with the song. What?
Okay, there was a theme song.
What the fuck?
And it was like a beach town.
Yes, he was the abusive husband to Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All that to say, I didn't think it was hot in that either.
No,
I
don't that think was not
like,
hot, actually.
I understand he's, like, objectively attractive.
Sure.
Like, I'm not stupid, but I'm just like, yeah. I don't see it. He looks like a horse.
He does look a little
horse. In a completely...
He's a Norse horse.
Not... you know what? It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, see, his character in True Blood was hot.
That's about vampires too, right?
Yes. Okay. He himself... The roles he chooses are not very... sexual.
Becoming. Wait, what?
Sexual. Oh. Like, they're not very sexual, but like for like as A-list as he is, he chooses quirky roles, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. Doesn't need the money. Honestly, his little bro, Bill Skarsgård, secret hottie.
Okay.
He looks like a hot Steve Buscemi.
What?
He's like a hot young Steve Buscemi.
Jesus Christ.
And I love Steve Buscemi.
Wait. I didn't even know. Okay, this person is so hot.
What?
This person is so hot, Sable. Whoa. But I didn't know that they did a fragrance ad. It is Mark Ronson for Fonda Fendi.
I did not know he did a
fragrance. In 2012.
That was like his heyday. Yeah. He was doing...
You're right. This is post-Amy.
Post-Amy, post-Lily Allen.
Yes.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
He was doing all the girls.
God, he is fine. He's still so sort of doing dorky, all the girls.
But like in a cute way.
He's like a hot Jack Antonoff.
Yes. Yes. He is the hot Jack Antonoff.
For sure.
Jack Antonoff could never.
Jack Antonoff drops empty bottles of wine down his trash chute at his apartment in Brooklyn. Not in bags.
Wait, how do you know that?
You didn't hear that from me.
How do you know that?
I just know things, Sable. Okay. Okay. My ear's always to the ground.
Demoise Tynan.
Literally. Also, that's alleged. Do not sue me.
Okay.
Okay. Like, what are we doing? Is this just hot people now?
Yes. Yes.
What are we at? We're almost at an hour. God. We were coherent long enough. Let's just burn through some
of these.
We're
burning through this.
Okay.
I will say, okay, Adam Driver in Burberry. Interesting. Artsy. Artful.
I do not find him. I know that many people do, so I get it. I don't find him attractive at all. But
he's
I thought that ad was very cool, unfortunately.
I agree.
It pains me to say.
I agree. Because he's like not a conventional hunk, but he's, again, a man of vibes. For some. For me, I need more convincing. But I kind of get it.
You know that man is rich. Because that body does not come cheap.
Well, he is now.
Right. But like we saw him on Girls.
Yeah.
And now he is stacked.
Well, he was in a Star Wars. He mm-hmm. was...
He was also kind of built on Girls. So what am I saying?
Yes, he was.
Anyway, my... man.
Okay.
One of my many men, but like probably top three.
Okay.
Miss Jake Gyllenhaal.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Prada Luna Rosa Ocean.
Can't
I'm sorry.
Stand him.
I'm so why?
I just know too much.
What do you know?
Oh. He's a little bitch.
Well, so am I.
No. You wait, maybe you would actually.
Would what?
I was like, you would not bully the entire staff of your film because you were hangry because you put yourself on a starvation diet to look emaciated for a film. And then I was like, maybe
no, no, I wouldn't do that.
No,
I would just bully the people that I love the most.
Okay, yeah, you just bring it home.
Yeah. No, Tynan's so nice. Yeah, that's great to work with. Try dating him.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah.
Oh, he also did, Miss Gyllenhaal did Calvin Klein.
He was Eternity.
2017.
I actually remember going to the event for that. Wait, and he was there.
And he was paired. Okay, so we were talking about how there's only white people, essentially.
Kind of.
We say that with an asterisk, but this list is by far, is predominantly white because all this shit is predominantly white. But he was paired with a woman of color for Calvin Klein, right?
Leah.
I could be wrong. I hope I'm not wrong. Sorry.
She's a well-known supermodel.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, again, I was at the event when they launched that.
Okay.
It's not, it's Calvin Klein Eternity. It's not a new fragrance, but right. He was announced as a spokesmodel. Huh. And Coty hosted a dinner. And you know me, I'll go wherever anywhere there's free food. So I showed up to this lavish dinner somewhere in Soho. He was at the event. And you couldn't really get close to him because he was surrounded by like all of the Coty and like, I don't know, like all the people.
I'd have gotten close.
But there was like a point where there was like one of those photo walls with like the little logos everywhere that people take photos, like a step and repeat. Yeah. So he was mostly there and people were taking photos, like all of the people who shoot for like Getty and like BFA.
Yeah.
But I had to walk past it to go to the bathroom. And when I walked past, he was like, You know how when men greet each other, they put each other's hands on each other's shoulders, like a faraway hug,
yeah.
And then they clap each other on the shoulder, and they're like, "Hey, man,
now kiss."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Part of me's like, "Kiss, kiss, kiss." And he was doing that with one man, and they just both kept kind of like gripping each other's shoulders for like a really long time, and smiling in each other's faces. And I had to stop and stare because I was like, "Where's this gonna go?"
Yeah.
I don't know if he was on something, but just the energy coming off him was unhinged. I know he was like turning it on for the press and for the cameras, but I was just like, what is this?
I love that.
Like, he was like super schmooze. And I was, I'm literally here for the free food. And it was this is very my dinner. Good. It was like 5-star chef's kiss.
Where was that?
They rented some space in like a loft in Soho.
Oh, nice.
But yeah. And then I just was like, you're mean to my brother. Bye.
I'm just worried this is me just like rattling off lists of hot guys. Can you just like talk about something?
Okay. So side note, I did not know Kit Harington was a Fragrance Works model for Jimmy Choo Man.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know who that is. Okay. Was he in Game of Thrones?
He was in Game of Thrones. Yeah. This is Jon Snow.
You know, I mean, he's very cute.
He's cute. He's got the straight brow. He's got the Cro-Magnon kind of handsomeness. About
he's got a low brow too.
Yeah.
Good for her. I wish her well.
Good for that model who's, it's just her leg straight over her shoulder.
Just a leg.
Just a leg. A leg model. What a good day for her. But what we were talking about earlier about Miss Dior, we were like, who is Natalie Portman, the Fragrance Works model for? And we were looking up the Miss Dior, mm-hmm. the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And the most deranged one. Is this like license? Like, can we do this?
Yeah, no, we can't do that.
Okay, fine. So like the Miss Dior thing. She's somewhere, it looks like part of the French Caribbean or something. Lots of fresh flowers, very colorful. And like the whole thing is at the end of each ad, she goes, "And you, what would you do for love?" Meanwhile, she's kind of just in a montage of sightseeing and stuff. And then there's one clip where it's literally like a 2-second clip where there's a man and you don't see his face.
Thank God.
But she shoves him angrily. He goes, "I love you." And she goes, "Show me.
Prove it."
Oh, prove it. And then it cuts to her in a flower field.
Well,
and
it's like, funny. It's so jarring because this one especially, it's just like a montage of beautiful imagery.
Beautiful imagery.
And it is beautiful. And like there's no...
And then you just hear a man shout.
Yeah. There's no narrative to it. It's just her. And it's just like they're all really quick cuts. And it cuts to this. She like there's like screaming and it cuts away. And like I don't think it works the way that they thought. And it's even so at the jarring. End...
Yeah.
Like, okay, the very iconic Charlize Theron spot for
J'adore.
That's, she talks in that, right?
I think so.
That's sexy.
It's sexy because it's just like her slithering in gold.
And it's like centered around her the whole time. And there's, she's making eye contact the whole time. And so when she talks, it feels like she's speaking to you. And you're like dying for her to say something. And she does. It's like, it's a really nice payoff. This
is just unhinged.
It's like the We Found Love video.
Yeah.
And then when Natalie Portman talks at the end, "What would you do for love?" I'm like, I don't know, girl. Like, what does this have to do with?
Yeah, exactly.
You just jumped out of a window.
Yeah,
it's very. It makes no sense. And she looks, I mean, beautiful. Of course, she's Natalie Portman. But like, it the whole thing is just sort of like someone is not gripping reality hard enough here. It's very weird.
I feel like after Black Swan, that was her MO.
That movie bangs.
Is just like detached from reality.
Totally.
Her whole manic pixie dream girl thing. She still got it.
Was she in Never Let Me Go?
That was Keira Knightley.
I don't know the difference.
They look the same.
I can't believe I've seen that movie.
Yeah. The Zoe Kravitz ads for YSL Black Opium are also just like slinky, sexy, nighttime energy. And then she just says, "Black Opium."
I love her.
And I wish those ads were cooler. I wish
she's
they were cooler.
Cooler in them because
she's
she is cool.
So nice to look at. It really sells it.
Yeah.
It's like you don't really need much than just her face.
No, I agree. Yeah. But like seeing all these other crazy ones. And I get that YSL is not Dior, is not, you know, isn't, I don't know, quote unquote artsy in that way. But I wanted them to give her more.
Give her just like a little narrative.
Yeah.
You can give like a tiny narrative. Like for instance, her dad, Lenny Kravitz, who's the face of Y Man.
Yeah.
Just the worst smell in the world. I'm sorry.
Say that.
He had a really nice narrative in his little 60.
Yeah, you're right.
Where it's like him getting ready to go on stage and then it flashes back to when he was a kid, just like rocking out on the drums and guitar, like learning.
Yeah.
It was really cute. And it then he like goes on stage. He like sprays on my man, and then he like has a moment, and then he goes on stage and rocks out. So I was like, do that for Zoe. Give her the same. She deserves it.
Yeah. It's I wonder how closely those came out next to each other. Probably close. They're mother, son, sorry, father, daughter. God. I was so close.
Yeah.
She's so fucking cool.
She's so cool.
Can we just talk about, speaking of hot people? And Zoe Kravitz,
yeah.
How when she was on the cover of Rolling Stone, recreating the her mom's cover, so fucking incredible. Iconic. Let me just Google that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, wait.
That was such a good cover.
Zoe Kravitz recreated her mom's Rolling Stone cover, which, by the way, is so fucking iconic. I don't love to like, I do love to stand celebrities, whatever, but this was some other shit. Zoe.
No, she looked amazing. That one, I remember when she shared those on her Instagram. I actually was like, wolf eyes, like boing.
Getting you closer to gayer every episode.
A little bit. Stunning photos.
Like, are you kidding? Sorry. Come on.
Yeah.
Please. She can wear any hair.
She can wear any hair.
She has,
that's like
tattoos.
Truly the talent. Is
that's
that
when
she
you
can,
know you're that
yes.
bitch. Yeah.
She can wear any fucking wig.
Mm. Or no wig.
The wig, that's the truth.
The wiggery of it all.
The wiggery of it all.
The only one I'm dead set on going back to, or going to rather, this is a lie. And I'm not proud of this because I look at this and I'm like, is this who we are? But who is this mother? I don't know any of these people's names. Okay. All those Chris's.
There's too many Chris's.
Chris Pine for Armani Code. Okay. And not this. He looks fine in this.
He's fine.
But let me tell you something.
What?
You know, I'm not about the sci-fi life. Like,
no.
I applaud you who are, but like,
I'm about some of it.
I don't need it. I don't really need a spaceship. Yeah. When he was in the Star Wars or whatever he was in.
Star Trek. Yes.
which are movies that I have seen. There was this one scene. Oh, we got to cut this out. This is getting too weird. It's really early in the movie where... Never mind.
Okay. Never mind. I didn't see the movie, so I don't know what you're talking about.
God, it was so like randomly homoerotic. There was...
I'm waiting for Alexa Demi to be like the face of Dolce & Gabbana or something.
She's the brunette.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
She was not the face of MAC, but she did something for MAC last year, right?
Oh, yeah. I think she did a little spot for MAC. Yeah.
Which makes...
That makes total
a
sense.
A ton of sense.
Yeah.
I think there was one more I wanted to... Oh. Well, let's... I mean, the elephant in the room.
Yes.
Adam Levine.
Is he the elephant in the room?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I think he makes a lot of sense for, like, a fragrance ad.
Sure,
because, like, he's a rock star.
Yeah.
And he looks like...
He's married to his supermodel.
He is, like, the male Rihanna in that he's hot. He can sort of pull off any look.
Mm. I guess,
but I mean, okay, let me take that all back. But that was I'm sorry, Rihanna. But he doesn't. You don't think of him as like fashion. You just think of him as like rock star. You know,
sure,
so it's like projecting like sex and fragrance onto him makes a ton of sense. But like, sure. I don't need an Adam Levine like capsule collection from John Varvatos. You know,
definitely not
Varvatos. I will never say that word right on this podcast.
Varvatos.
And I don't care to. there was Liam Hemsworth for Diesel.
That was weird.
2015, was it?
Okay.
It's giving.
I love that it's called Only the Brave.
That's terrible. And frankly, so is the bottle.
Chris Hemsworth? Oh, the bottle is awful.
I can't tell the difference. No, that's Liam.
No. I wonder if Chris Hemsworth has ever been a fragrance man. Like maybe he did Hugo Boss. That's coming up, swimming up to my memory.
I have Ryan Reynolds for a couple Hugo Bosses.
Yeah, sure.
And the mid-aughts.
Sure, Ryan Reynolds. Googling Chris Hemsworth fragrance. Oh, he did do Hugo Boss. Okay. Wow. Can't believe I knew that. But yeah. And little Liam got Diesel. Aw. Poor Liam.
Is he Australian? Yes, I would know.
Yes, I would know.
Okay. Sorry.
They are very Australian.
Mm. Oh, this is the one. Okay. So, continuing. I'm sorry that this episode is just like us being horny.
But it's mostly you being horny.
Well, welcome to Smell You Later.
Yes.
So, Ian Somerhalder.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Vampire Diaries guy.
Okay. I thought this was Chase Crawford.
They do look similar.
I was into it.
Azaro.
Anyway, I thought that with the celebrity fragrance fatigue that we're seeing and have seen, actually, that is like long gone because celebrity fragrance is like low-key coming back. But with all of that that we've seen and with the exhaustion of the celebrity brand that we are all experiencing, and, you know, rightfully so, I thought fragrance at large would pull away from celebrity before they would sex. I thought sex was always going to be here because sex is like a primal, not need, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
The us as a species are more familiar with sex than we are a celebrity.
Yes.
And so it's odd to me that we have not sterilized, because that has a negative connotations. I think we've gotten smarter with how we speak.
I think they're just reinterpreting sex. Like, what is sexy?
Sure, but I also think we're realizing that, like, we, one, sex doesn't sell as well as it used to, and two, there are other things that you can project onto a fucking product to make people want it. You know, like power and...
Sure. Well, our cultural values have shifted
away
from, you know, the basic heteronormative imperative for sex and to find a mate, and now we're just all about like girl bossing, CEO, unicorn.
Yeah, I definitely think that is like
power.
Why
late stage capitalism?
Things look certainly the way that they do. I don't think that we would see that fucking iconic Charlize ad today.
Probably not. Probably not.
And it's, and there's nothing bad about it. It's not like there's not, it's not gratuitous. And that, if anything, like, is just as empowering as it is sexual. It is inherently sexual, but it's also like just like a woman owning her power, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But not to speak ill of that, but it's like we wouldn't see that because we're too busy showing Natalie Portman screaming at a guy and jumping out a window.
And Brad Pitt monologuing some insane shit.
Some bullshit. Yeah.
Against like a wall. Yeah, that was super weird. I would love to see fragrance ads become, remember when music, I guess they're still doing it, but like 10 minute music videos.
Yeah.
That have like a narrative. Like, telephone. I would love to see a fragrance like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, give me a narrative.
That'd be sick.
And it like doesn't have to like feature a bottle. It doesn't have to be all about the fragrance, but just something that like invites you into the world they're trying to create with the fragrance. Like just like a little slice of life. Mm-hmm. Give me that.
Well, the thing of it is, it's like the
hire us to do your fragrance ads.
Right. Like,
obviously.
The media environment and the fragrance environment and beauty itself has never been more like ripe for that sort of content because, like, there's nothing cooler than working with an up and comer. There's nothing cooler than work, like, in terms of not only talent, but like director, producer, like things like that. Like, you work with, you get the, like, the team is just as important, if not more, than the talent.
Totally.
Look at what's happening with Burberry right now with that dope spot that they do, the people fucking flying around that field. Have you seen that?
No.
It's incredible.
Okay.
It's incredible. Not to like simp for Burberry, but like it's just like it, from an artistic standpoint, it's amazing.
Yeah, they have a new creative guy. Mm-hmm. That's why, yeah.
Well, and what Rube is doing at Tiffany right now, which I know is sort of like everywhere and like it is certainly something, but we're all talking about it and like we're not talking about, I mean, we are talking about the work, but we're talking about the team. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like give us a 10 minute moment.
Or like the Gucci guy who's just doing crazy shit.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
what's his face? I don't know.
I think that that kind of shit though hits harder in fashion.
Yeah.
Cause like that's the fashion crowd.
Yeah.
And fragrance just has to sell. So fashion can then do all of that.
But even the way they're redoing Gucci Beauty is cool.
How do you mean?
The ads when they relaunched Gucci Beauty all of the ads were like 80s looking.
Wait, was that a relaunch? My dumbass thought that was like the first launch.
No, that was a relaunch. They've always had makeup.
We're talking like 2018-ish, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
But like they had cool new ads. They had this girl from a cool local punk band, Surfport, and she was one of the spokesmodels. Hmm. It's always weird to see when local punk bands come up and then they start getting these like really schmaltzy deals and you're like, oh, okay. I mean, do you, but like it's not very punk.
Get the bag, girl.
I mean, yeah, get the bag. We live where we live.
Did you see that Arca is the face of the new Byredo something or other? Arca?
Who?
They are a producer. They're a music. They're a DJ.
Oh, okay. I definitely wouldn't know that.
Girl, I don't know.
Yeah. Music something.
If you're like a radical Brooklyn queer, you know Arca.
Okay.
I don't, but my coworker does.
But they're doing something for Byredo.
Yeah.
Well, Byredo's also doing like the Travis Scott collabs. Like fragrance collabs are becoming a thing now.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
What is the future of fragrance spokesmembadorship?
Do you think... So do you think that will still be necessary or as necessary?
I think they always want to tie a face to a fragrance.
I agree.
Like, now they're probably going into, like, influencer territory.
Right.
Like that... Well, that was technically an advertorial that I did for Black Opium with Allure.
Yeah.
That was a sponsored piece. Like, I had to write. They made me write.
Yeah.
How dare they?
Right.
But we did, like, a little shoot at the Beekman Hotel. So that's, like, sort of similar.
Yeah.
But they're doing stuff like that now with influencers where they'll do, like, a cool shoot. And it looks like a traditional fragrance ad, but it's through the medium of a digital influencer. Right.
Part of me thinks that, like, the old school brands... to do the big global launches, you know, pre-holiday, the ones that like have to sell and the ones that frankly do sell. I think that there will always have to be like a celebrity element of some sort.
Yeah.
But then you see the DS and Durgas and by and large, the Barreiros and indies that are much smaller than they are too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not our baseline for indies because half of them are not, but having no face, no gender, you know, just beautiful, clean, simple visuals. And I just feel like they are still veering.
It's two so different things. Yeah. Other.
You're right. You're right.
Because also the niche artisanal brands, they're at a price point where their goals are not the same as like the goals of YSL to sell shit.
No.
They don't have the same overheads. They don't have to like desperately sell that much stuff. And even if they did, I still think they would do it in a different way.
Yeah.
I also think that a lot of those brands, especially the newer ones, probably go into fragrance thinking I want to do something different.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, their price point's often higher and their budget's obviously way lower than anything owned by a Coty or a Femme Nation. So
I think they're targeting everybody, anyone who enjoys fragrance, but I feel like they're just communicating a different level of taste that's not predicated on a label. It's the story of the fragrance and the connection to the fragrance itself. You don't see Calvin Klein doing marketing storytelling that way. They just make a cool image.
That's a good point.
With a hot person.
Yeah.
That's their story.
I do think that the smaller brands are banking on their more niche artisanal. Yeah.
But I think vibe. That's working. Like everybody knows that everyone has personal connections to fragrances, to scents. And these smaller brands are leveraging that because that's what makes sense. That's how you communicate to the customer, to people, which ultimately, like, fragrance is a tool of communication and connection. And the designer brands don't want to connect. They don't seem to want to connect to a person that way. It's like they're talking from above. They're giving you something that's aspirational. And so if you want to aspire to that lifestyle, the Dior, the Coco Chanel lifestyle, you'll buy their fragrance because it's a fancy, aspirational item that you can buy for $60, $80 that you couldn't necessarily buy like Chanel Couture, like you said.
Okay, but...
That was really long-winded.
No. Good. But I almost disagree because I think... I was also on a call today with a Coty brand, and I was like in this like huge deck that they were showing me. But even before all that, it's just top of mind. I think that these luxury brands, the YSLs and all that, are more concerned with connecting and keeping that customer because, I mean, small brands don't have marketing and data. What?
I was like, but I don't see it from where I'm standing.
But you do, though, because you are buying, you specifically are buying all of the flankers, you know?
For Mugler. not for...
Okay, but I would lump Mugler in its own way with the Calvin Kleins and the YSLs and like that tier,
sort of.
That tier of brand. They have all the data on their customer that they know what they want. And I know that this is not like a relationship. This is money. This is brand loyalty. This is replenishment.
Sure.
But... they are putting out all of these things because they know that like 40% of their customers want this, 70% wants this. This is why we're doing another flanker. Like they do want that relationship with their consumer. Whereas I keep thinking DS and Durga, like they are like, we're having a ton of fun. We know that's what you like about us. This is about us. This isn't about you. You come get it. Whereas like DS and Durga is talking to themselves and it's working. Because that can that can work.
Yeah.
DS and Durga is fun because they are having fun. Whereas we have 30 flankers of Daisy.
Yeah.
Because they want that return customer and they're getting it. And that's a relationship.
What, how is that a relationship?
Like, it's a relationship. Like, it's brand loyalty. This is not like me like gunning for.
They're like, just like pumping out more product.
Yeah, but people are running to get it. You know, like.
I think they're advertising well. That's how they get to people. And you're right. Like the Diaz and Durgos, the Labos, the Byritos, they're more of a you come to us mm-hmm. because it's got the cachet of cool. Mm-hmm. A couple tastemakers have said to be worn their fragrance and suddenly everybody wants them. So they're like tastemakers, whereas the Daisies of the world, it's brand loyalty and it's novelty.
Exactly. Like what you just said.
But I don't think that's a relationship. I just think that's marketing.
I think in its own way, it's a relationship. I don't think it's a good relationship. I'm not like gunning for like this. Like, I don't think
they're fulfilling their duty exactly. as a market.
Exactly. But like you just said, the DSs and the Lilabos are like, we're going to do what we're going to do, whether you come or not.
Yeah.
But the Marc Jacobses are like, wait, come back. Like, we did another thing that you like. Remember, you know,
so desperate.
It is desperate.
It works though.
But the bottles are so pretty.
The bottles are really pretty. I'll give them that. I mean, it's cute. They have the money to do it.
Yeah.
But it's. I'd be curious to be like, what's going on there? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to do? And what do you think is happening?
We have to talk
because to someone. I don't know.
We have to talk to someone who has worked at one of those places, but does not work there now. Because no one from Marc Jacobs, who we love, true. Is going to like tell us the real shit about like, this is why there are so many daisies. Yeah. That a lot of which we love.
Well, this Coty owns it. That's all Coty's doing.
Right. So. But like, it has to be someone who's like been scorned by Coty.
Yeah, an ex-employee. If you're an ex-employee of Coty, please reach out.
If anyone has an axe to grind with Coty, we would love for you to slide into our DMs.
Yes. Or Coty could just respond to my emails. That'd be cool too.
But they do.
They didn't respond to the one.
They don't want to tell us the truth though.
All right. Anyway, where are fragrance ads going? Who will be the next fragrance
face?
Space.
Who is one face that you want to see in a fragrance?
Oh.
You're going to say like fucking
Steve
like,
Buscemi.
I know. So why did I even ask this fucking question?
Actually, it's
fucking SpongeBob SquarePants. Ooh.
I would love to see Debbie Harry. Ooh. Has she ever done it? I feel like she might. Maybe. No.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'd love to see her do it. Yeah. I'd love to see Yoko Ono do it. I feel like she wouldn't.
Has she done one?
I don't think she has. It doesn't seem like her bag, honestly.
I could see that going either way for her. I agree with you.
It would have to be something really kooky. Me googling Yoko Ono fragrance.
No. Nothing. I'm getting a.
She can't be bought. She's a woman who cannot be bought, and I respect that. Googling Debbie Harry. Oh, she was the face of Paco Rabanne. Black XS, be a legend. I'll have to sniff that.
Okay.
But you could keep doing that, Debbie. Do another one. Keep going.
Debbie Harry's a good girl. Answer. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a very good answer.
I still also want... Did you see the Kith ad with Steve Buscemi?
Yes.
He looks good.
Yeah.
I like him.
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
That's like part of the charm. He's like a super regular faced man.
Oh, was he the one in the cloud denim jacket?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's not... I'm just thinking Danny DeVito.
You couldn't pick up Danny DeVito. First of all, just look down.
Same all. We will have no Short King slander on this podcast.
No, that's not slander. That's just who he is. Just call it a spade a spade.
Anyway, tell us who you want to see in a fragrance ad. Tell us where you think fragrance is going. Leave. God.
Danny DeVito, I love your work. Leave us 5 stars.
And review. We've been getting some lovely reviews lately. We appreciate them all. Y'all are so kind. Mm-hmm. Follow me on Instagram. I'm at Smell You Later. Follow us at... Did you already say that?
No, you didn't.
Fuck.
Follow us at smellyoulater.mp3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
And until next time, we will...
You didn't say I'm at Tyne and Buck.
I did. I said it first.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Fine.
Didn't I? I'm at Tyne and Buck. Fucking follow me. And until next time,
we will smell you later.